Okay. So as I said earlier, the subject of the message this morning is going to be distractions. This morning I would like to speak about focus in the Christian life and distractions and the effects and consequences of distractions. The night before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples, I am the true vine. And by saying true vine, he was indicating that there are other vines that are detrimental to someone's spiritual life. We want to be attached to the true vine and receive proper nourishment for our spiritual life. What does it mean to abide in the Lord? What priority do we give to abiding in the Lord? Conversely, what priority do we give to the distractions in our lives? If there ever was a time in history where we need to look to Jesus and focus on Him and not our distractions, I think it's now. Considering the condition of our country and the world, we need to focus on Jesus and examine ourselves to see if we are giving priority to distractions instead of Jesus. We want to give our priority, our focus to Jesus. We may think that we are not giving priority to distractions, but if we examine our daily activities, we may see things differently. If you could turn with me to John chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 to 11. For those online, John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 11. John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. So verse 4 says, it tells us, abide in me. Draw, in other words, what does it mean to abide in the Lord? Draw life from the Lord by studying his word that is nourishment for your spirit. Stay in touch with the Lord always through prayer. Drink living water through a filling or a refilling of the Holy Spirit. So that's what abiding in the Lord means. Abide in Jesus and He in you. Because only Jesus can satisfy your soul. We've said that many times. There's a saying that the only one who could satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. Let me repeat that. The only one who could satisfy the human heart is the one who made it. The branch that abides in the vine, which is Jesus, will bear the fruit that he is looking for. And verse 8 tells us the Lord wants us to bear much fruit. The only way we can bear fruit is by abiding in Jesus and he in us, because without him, we can't accomplish anything. Man is nothing without Jesus. We need him for our next breath. We need Jesus for everything. We need Jesus for our spiritual life. We need Jesus for our material life. We need him for everything. Therefore, we need to abide in him. Abide in the Lord as opposed to getting distracted from him. Do you remember the incident on the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus appeared in his glory. His glory shone from within him. The appearance of Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets. The answer of Peter is a representation of man's agenda, because Peter said, let's build a tabernacle, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Then God gave his sovereign answer to those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were on the Mount of Transfiguration. God answered, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. In other words, there was no room for distractions in that command. Listen to him. God was saying that the time for the law and the prophets had come and gone. Now it is time for the teaching and the doctrine of my Son. And it's still time for the teaching and the doctrine of Jesus. King James Version says, hear him. Hear signifies not only to hear with the ear, but also to listen, to understand, and to obey. We need to hear, listen, understand, and obey the teachings of the Lord and not let distractions rob them. Listen to him. With him, I am well pleased. This is God the Father saying, with him, I am well pleased. If the Lord, the Father is saying, with him, I am well pleased, how much more we should have our attention on Jesus. And God the Father is saying, listen to him. With him, I am well pleased. In current times, it is still time for the teachings and the doctrine of Jesus. Not only is it still time, it's like, boy, is there time for the doctrine and teachings of Jesus. Time like never before. His doctrine is what men and women should live by and regard as their authority. You know, in the Bible study on Tuesday nights, we have been speaking about the Sermon on the Mount. So much of the doctrine of Jesus is there, teaching men and women how to live. Live by his doctrine. Live by the standards. His doctrine is what men and women should live by and regard as their authority. And when you study the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching in detail how men should live, you realize that if men live by the teachings and doctrine of Jesus, we wouldn't need a police force. People obey God's laws, you wouldn't need police. How much more peace would be in the world if people obeyed the doctrine of Jesus? How much peace there would be in families, and lack of tension, and lack of arguments and disagreements. When you read that Sermon on the Mount, if you could come to the Bible study, do so. There's so much, even for a seasoned Christian, it's good to be reminded how Jesus instructs us how to live. Living by the doctrines and standards of Jesus is the way God originally intended life to be. If people live by the teachings and standards of Jesus, this world would not be in the mess that it's in. How well do we as Christians follow the teachings and the standards of Jesus? We say, oh, we know him. I've read the Bible time and time again. I know. Yeah, but how much do we follow his teachings and his standards? We always need to have our Bible open and to study it, especially the teachings of Jesus. And then getting back to the Mount of Transfiguration, these disciples fell as dead before Jesus, and when they heard the voice of the Father from heaven, and Jesus had to raise them. And it says in verse 8, and lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. You know, that's the greatest tunnel vision anybody could ever have. They saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Great tunnel vision. This verse is reinforcement that our attention should be on Jesus and his teachings. Proverbs chapter 4, 25 to 27. I'll read it to you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. In other words, on the Lord. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. We want and need our gaze to be fixed on Jesus. We sing to him. We all know that hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He's the only one who will successfully get us through life. And that's not a nice saying. That's truth. Looking to Jesus, there is an answer for everything, and I mean everything in life. An answer for every sickness, every headache, every problem, every crisis. There is an answer for everything when you turn your eyes upon Jesus. And remember what the song we sing, he's the Christ of every crisis. Nothing you bring to him is going to be too big for him. There's an answer for everything when you turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I mean everything. There's a saying, fall in love with Jesus and everything else will fall in line. Fall in love with Jesus and everything else will fall in line. There's another saying, put Jesus in the center and everything else will come together. Sometimes we wonder why things aren't going right in life and why this problem is occurring and what happened. It all happens to all of us. Well, you know what? We all have to get back to the truth of this saying. Put Jesus in the center and everything else will come together. Watch everything straighten out in your life. Put Jesus in the center. We don't have all the answers. He does. So put him in the center, and everything else will come together. You have problems this morning that are not getting solved? Put Jesus in the center. And verse 8, again, and lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And from the hymn, All for Jesus, it says, let my hands perform his bidding, let my feet run in his ways, and here it comes. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Focus on him. You know why sometimes we get sorrowful or Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Our focus is not on Jesus. And he's telling us this morning, look at me. Turn to me for everything. Whatever your problem is, whatever you're going through, look at me. I've got the answer. Fix your vision, your attention on Jesus. Another verse from that hymn, All for Jesus, states, since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchained my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. I've lost sight of all beside means that focal adjustment had occurred. I've lost sight all beside. So you know what? The person lost sight of all beside, that means some focal adjustment occurred. We like to see clearly, right? Go to the eye doctor, he puts you through a test, and what are you going for? You're going so your focus could be improved. And your vision, hopefully, will be 20/20. Do we need focal adjustment this morning, spiritually? Have the Lord adjust your focus. And when you're in focus, you're going to be looking directly at Jesus. Our focus should be on Jesus and not distractions. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. It's all about Jesus. And I've said it since I took over the church years ago. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. That's what this church is about. Don't speak about distractions. Do we prioritize time with Jesus, or do we prioritize distractions? From the hymn, Have You Any Room for Jesus? It says, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. That's pretty sad. Not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. And if we say that we have already accepted Jesus into our hearts and lives, are we giving him room and priority over our distractions? What could be our distractions? And we all have them. Let's face it. I know I have them. What could be our distractions that we need to get rid of? Time for some type of enjoyment or pleasure when we should be giving time to the Lord, such as a church service, a Bible study, or a prayer meeting. Now, the Lord does allow time for pleasure and for enjoyment. Of course he does. But then there's times that have to be given to him, such as a church service, a Bible study, a prayer meeting. Maybe we're giving time to a hobby when we should be spending time with Jesus. And again, God allows hobby. He gave us the ability for the hobbies. But that time should not take away time that we should be spending with Jesus. Sports could be a distraction. Here's another one. Criticisms and judgments could be a distraction. We could be watching someone else's walk with the Lord and making judgments about it, and not giving due diligence to our own walk with him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 states, work out your own salvation. Your own. We have enough to do to work out our own salvation. These activities we mentioned before are not bad, but they cannot become distractions from the Lord or time that should be given to him. They cannot rob the time that belongs to Jesus. We cannot get caught up in an activity that is a distraction, and when the end of the day comes, we have not spent time with the Lord or quality time with him. I know years back, and maybe still today, quality time was a big thing. Quality time with your husband or wife or your girlfriend or boyfriend, quality time with a friend or a family member. The best quality time we have is as we sang this morning, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's quality time. A time on your knees, that's quality time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 states, Jesus spoke about the cares of this world. Remember when he spoke about the sower and the seed, and Jesus mentioned the cares of this world? The cares of this world can surely become a distraction. They can and will inhibit hungering and thirsting for God or more of Him. And you know, we speak quite a bit about hungering and thirsting for God. A person could think, oh, I received God into my life. Yeah, but how about more? How about more of Him? Are you filled with Him today? Are we filled with God? Or should we be seeking a filling or refilling of the Holy Spirit? We need to remember that the Almighty God wants to spend time with us, and we should ignore Him. Stop and think about that one. The Almighty God wants to spend time with us. Who are we that God should want to spend time with us? But He does. And we should ignore Him, push Him aside and say, oh no, I have something else to do. Is any distraction more important than spending time with the Lord? Have you any room for Jesus? We may say that we are seeking the Lord and more of Him, but where are our priorities this morning? Are they on distractions or on Him? What are our distractions this morning? We could ask the Lord to show us. Then ask Him to help us to get rid of them. Put things in their proper place. Jesus first. Quality time with Him. Are we willing to change our priorities? Have you any room for Jesus or more of Him? And what about quality time with Jesus? There's an old saying, tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Our friends rub off on us. We want Jesus to rub off on us. How could that happen? Spending much time with Him. Are we abiding in Jesus this morning? A line from the hymn that we sang this morning, sitting at the feet of Jesus, may I prove I've been with Jesus. Wow, that would be beautiful. May I prove I've been with Jesus. When Moses came down from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments, the glow of the Lord was so bright on his face, it had to be covered with a veil. Do we spend enough time with Jesus that people can see we have been with Him? The more you abide in Jesus, the more you will become like Him. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 reads, now when they saw, they referring to the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders of that day, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now these scribes and Pharisees and elders, they were against Peter and John. They didn't like that Peter and John were speaking and the lame man was healed in the name of Jesus. But they had to acknowledge, they marveled, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a wonderful testimony. We want to abide in Jesus. We hope and pray that others will see Jesus in us and that He increases in our lives as we decrease. Remember John the Baptist, what he said, He must increase. Jesus must increase, but I decrease. Jesus wants to spend quality time with us. we should feel extremely privileged. We want to spend quality time with Jesus, abiding in Him and He in us. As I said, we should feel extremely privileged that Jesus wants to spend quality time with us. Do we have any or enough sufficient room for Jesus in our lives? Or do we have room for distractions, but hardly any room for Jesus? Have the distractions become our priority? We don't want our distractions to take the time that we should be abiding in the Lord. Distractions could be detrimental and will be detrimental to our spiritual lives. Remember Peter walked on the water to get to Jesus? Peter walked on the water until he was distracted by the wind and the waves, causing him to take his eyes off of Jesus. And you know what happened? He began to sink. The distractions were detrimental to his faith. If we got rid of our distractions and focus on Jesus, our faith would increase. We don't want our distractions to have a detrimental effect on our spiritual life. We need to examine our lives this morning. We want to ask the Lord to show us the distractions in our lives and then allow Him to remove these distractions so that we can give Jesus the time and the attention that we should be giving to Him. The time and the attention and the priority that belongs to Him and the time that He deserves. So we're going to get down to pray at this point, and then we'll have a last song. If someone could lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message, it could be someone online also. But someone to lead us in the words of prayer. Even if it's a few words, that's okay.